It's like son-in-law. Welcome to the podcast they call Comes Naturally. As always, we ask you to do a couple things. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
After you're done doing that, please head on over to iTunes, rate the podcast, review the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast. Cody, what's our motherfucking name?
Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
and we are joined by Taj. And I am Cody.
And we already hate this episode.
Yep.
I'm glad I'm here.
Makes one of us. So, on today's episode, we're going to talk about Spider-Man Homecoming and how terrible it was.
He came home.
Just kidding. It wasn't terrible. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was really good.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. We'll go around the table. We'll start with Taj.
It was good.
I haven't said what we're doing yet.
Oh, okay.
What was your favorite thing from the movie?
My favorite thing from the movie.
I
like the tech, the Spider-Man tech. I love the suit. I thought that everything that had to do with it. And I guess, I can't remember what he named his...
Karen,
thank you very much. His interactions with Karen were very lovely. Very Tony Stark and Friday slash... the fuck was Vision's name before he was Vision?
Jarvis,
thank you. So I suppose it's not too surprising that there was something like that integrated into the suit. But I thought that was great in the interactions, even more so than Stark and Jarvis were very good because they got much more personal.
Yeah.
And, the portions where, she's telling him to ask what's her face on the fucking date was great.
Yes, Liz.
Yeah. Now she's gone. Fuck her.
I'm not gone. Just in Portland.
Yeah, he's not going to fucking Portland.
I went to Washington, D.C.,
for the competition that he missed. Way to go.
Yeah, well, saving lives way more important. Or hanging out in a warehouse
back out for
all night.
Paid attention to that shit.
Michael, what was your favorite part?
This wasn't my favorite part, but piggyback.
I asked you
I'll get there. I don't know why I was surprised that a suit made by Tony Stark was going to have the intelligence in it to talk to Spider-Man and everything. Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, ah, fuck, that makes so much sense. And I didn't
because Spider-Man doesn't have that.
Yeah, so Spider-Man has never had that from any Spider-Man I've ever experienced. So I don't know if at some point he did in the comics. It was just one of those things. I was like, ah, fuck, that's a smart, obvious idea. And I never even thought about it. So that was pretty cool. But my favorite part, of the movie was actually, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
I knew it.
It's
fucking Michael Keaton.
I'm a giant Michael Keaton fan.
Batman in the Spider-Man movie?
As it is. But God damn it. He's probably my favorite villain.
He's pretty funny.
And,
he's well done for sure.
Yeah. And he's not even...
He's the guy that would scare the shit out of you when you go meet him and fucking his daughter.
The best villains are always the villains who believe they're right. Mm-hmm. And you understand why he believes he's right and why he's doing what he thinks is the best thing. And he's doing it for his family, and he's just so goddamn intense the whole movie. Like that scene
when he kills the guy?
Well, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and then he there's still a little comedy aspect when he leans back after he just obliterated that dude. He's like, I thought this was the anti-gravity gun.
Yeah.
But my favorite scene was the car ride to the homecoming dance.
Oh yeah.
When he pieces together that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, and just like the intensity in his eyes just when he realizes it. And he's still talking to his daughter in the same voice, but like his facial expressions completely changed. I was like, oh God, this dude's fucking good. And then when he pulls the gun out and talks to Peter after his daughter already, like, oh, so good. It was so good.
Yeah, he's really intense.
But also the one little tiny nitpicking thing is like, can we have Tony Stark fight some, like, be involved in a movie where he's not the primary character. Reason why there's a bad guy. Like, I know there has been, but the majority of them.
He showed up in this movie more than he has in any other of his of movies that it's not his, but he still doesn't fight any of the bad guys.
Well, I'm just annoyed that the bad guy is created because of something Tony Stark did. And I understand why, but I'm like, fuck, another one where, like, if Tony Stark...
Yeah, had Tony Stark not existed, this whole thing would have been pointless.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my favorite part. Joe?
You stole it. That was it. Michael Keaton was my favorite part of the whole movie.
He's dope.
He was really fucking good. Dope. The Vulture was played
How much
did
he sign
well.
On for more? Do you know? Two more? Yeah, man.
Yeah. The Vulture's one of those characters, too, that you look at and you're like... I know him not from the comic books, but from the cartoon show, and he's such a weird villain that to make him into an actual live-action movie screen villain was kind of weird, but nailed it, completely nailed it.
Yeah, and I like how his wings kind of look like a modified version of what you would expect the Green Goblin's board to look like in this
Right, but
this
it's
series.
Attached to his back instead of his riding on it, yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
And it was kind of, it was an intelligence of its own, too, because, you know, I didn't get the impression that when it was flying around whipping Spider-Man's ass towards the end of the movie that he was controlling it in any way other than just...
Just so people can hear you talk.
People can hear me talk.
No.
You don't listen to the podcast.
That.
People can't hear you talk.
Speaking to this thing,
this is gonna get really weird.
As well, okay, as long as people can hear you.
I like what I'm doing right now.
Anyways, go ahead. Continue.
But I also like the. I mean, to a lesser extent, I liked all the little things that you got here and there, from like the Shocker, or at least the guy that called himself the Shocker,
the original one, or the secondary.
But then the second one that comes up. But one thing I don't know if you guys noticed, as they used the glove, you could see that the jacket became more burnt, but it was yellow.
Yeah,
that type of crosshatch on it. I was like, oh, that's literally classic Shocker. Scorpion at the end there. I remember looking at it and turning to Cody and going, Scorpion, right? And he's
he just kind of waltzes up out of nowhere and.
Well, he was the one at the weapons thing in the van when
you're talking about when Spider-Man tries to capture him and there's that car chase.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So he's involved in that the whole entire time.
That was really cool. I was expecting other of the Sinister Six to kind of make a little bit of cameos here and there, especially when you had the prison scene at the end. At least with like Mysterio or something, but nothing I ever saw.
And I like too how because of that last scene where he approaches Michael Keaton's character and he's like, you know who he is, and he's like, no, basically, and I'm like, all right, so like he's obviously got a respect for Peter Parker because, one, he saved his daughter and he let him live that one time because of it, but then knew he was going to come after him, so sent Shocker after him. But then, like, you could see, too, when Peter saved him after the plane crashed, there's, like, a look at him where he's just like, all right, well, you just saved my life. Like, he kind of got that vibe. Like, understands.
I owe you one more.
Yeah. So he's such an interesting character in this because he's obviously flawed and he's killed people.
Yeah.
But like you feel like he's still possibly a redeemable character.
Maybe.
And that's just going to play. It's going to be fun to see how that plays out in future movies. Mm-hmm. Cody.
Hello.
Your favorite part?
My favorite part is probably the damage control warehouse when he gets to practice with the suit. That whole thing was extremely hilarious because you get, obviously, he names the suit's AI, but then he gets to play with all the parts and just like a little montage of just fun nonsense. So she's like, Ricochet, you know, and like, and it's just really fun because then like he's, the webs are all over the wall, and he's just, at one point he's like laying in a hammock and all that fun stuff, and then
it's when just, it felt like it had been forever and it had been 10 yeah. minutes.
Yeah, 37
like,
minutes.
Yeah, he's, yeah, he's like, how long? What time is it? It's been 37 minutes. What? It felt like 4 hours. Yeah, it's extremely funny. I think that's my favorite part is, and going off of yours and a little bit what you said, like the, or what you said, the suit having AI and the humor used with it, like when he's, when she's trying to tell him to do like the upside down kiss, which obviously is a direct nod to the Sam Raimi movies, movie technically is what happened. But yeah, I think it's my favorite part is the damage control scene. Because it's just him in a giant warehouse, and apparently Damage Control doesn't have any kind of security.
Cameras or anything.
Yeah, like security. Inside the warehouse. They're like, yeah, fuck it, we're
it's
fine,
in
right?
There, we're
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And I do, one of the little details that I really liked was when he was interrogating Donald Glover's character, and he goes to leave. He's like, that's going to dissolve in two hours. I was like, fucking thank you, dude. Like, like when he right? said that, I was like, thank you so much that they've like addressed what happens to all the goddamn webbing everywhere.
Yeah.
So I was happy about that. And all the casting was pretty perfect. Like all the characters are kind of like Ned was hilarious.
Yeah.
He did really good. That chick that played Michelle was a Zendaya, who's apparently a big deal. That yeah, I've never heard of before. Because we talked about it, yeah, it's yeah. Disney Channel, and she's like a singer and performer too. Yeah. She was great. And then, dude, I just loved when she said my friends called me MJ, like how mad I could feel the internet getting from right. the movie theater. I was like, oh, they're going to be so pissed. I'm like, they're not saying she's
not Mary Jane.
She's not Mary Jane. Like, she
it's
can,
okay to have a nickname MJ yeah. and not be Mary Jane.
But yeah, it was lots of fun.
Yeah. So.
Oh, hold on. Side part.
Holding.
I cannot wait for the Infinity Gauntlet.
Which Infinity War?
Infinity War, where Pete gets his ass kicked a little bit and then tells Karen to full on turn on kill mode.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see what he does in kill mode with that suit.
Two almost kill modes.
I was like, because right. you know it's going to happen in the Infinity Wars when he's fighting aliens and robots and shit. I was like, oh,
exactly
god damn
what
it.
What is it going to do?
It's going
to
fucking
shoot web bullets, basically.
Right.
And it's going to like power him up and just punch through robots.
And he's strong as shit already. So what more?
Interrogation mode was
hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes so bad.
The voice sound all menacing.
Instant kill. Instant kill, is what it's called. Oh yeah, but I like I said, as soon as like she said that and his eyes went red, I was like, "Oh, when he gets to some fucking robots or aliens or some shit, he's gonna wreck shit.
We can actually punch through people.
It's gonna be so much fun."
So, how do you think he gets included into Infinity Wars?
Yeah, Tony Stark puts him in a space bubble and throws him up.
Infinity War takes place on Earth, by the way.
Space bubble.
Don't look at me. That was Michael. Who thinks it's gonna be a space bubble?
Well, I mean, it's a bubble. It's in space, so it's a space bubble. Yeah. Just like anal in space is space anal.
Yeah.
My point is, he's still your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, not
is
a part
though?
Of the Avengers.
Is he though?
So,
well, he wasn't part of the Avengers when he helped.
Well,
fight
he was about
Civil
to be
War.
Part of the Avengers. They were literally
so they
going
they know
to announce
he's on call.
Yeah,
like,
you can call in all the reserves.
Yeah.
All 67 characters that are featured in the movie.
Mm-hmm. All 67 characters that had their own standalone film.
Yeah. Want to go over some fun little Easter egg stuff?
Yes.
That was in
yes.
there?
Yes.
I like Easter eggs.
Yeah, you do. That smell of vinegar.
No, not those.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. We'll start with Donald Glover. I think it's everyone's favorite one that once they find out what it is and what it is. So Aaron Davis is the character Don Glover plays. It's a clever way of doing it because you don't actually hear who he is in it.
Not ever.
But you just know that he's a criminal of some sort because he was trying to buy criminally type weapons.
Yeah.
We don't even know if it was because he didn't even ask for like weapons. He was just asking for like tech because his character is a bad guy goes by the name of Prowler, who's a burglar. So he wasn't looking for like shooty weapons or like punchy weapons. But
he says in there, he's like, I'm just looking for something to stick somebody up. Why are you trying to upsell me when you're trying to send him these giant ass guns?
Yeah. So like he's not looking for like, you know, a death ray or anything like that. He's probably just looking for something that can immobilize somebody or to something get him in somewhere. Easy. Which is those little like weird little stones that the Adrian kept or the vulture kept using where it opened up a little like breach. Those obviously would work out really well for a guy who's breaking into stuff, you know, like the vulture was. So the Prowler is from the Ultimate Universe, and he is the uncle and the reason that Miles Morales becomes the new Spider-Man in the Ultimate Universe and currently in the normal Marvel
Universe.
He
even references his nephew.
He does reference his nephew. He says that I have a nephew who lives in the same neighborhood and talks about how he wants to keep it safe. And then I didn't see this, and I was watching a bunch of Easter egg videos to see all the stuff I did miss because I've only had a chance to see it once. His license plate actually lists the debut of Miles Morales as Ultimate Spider-Man, and it reads, let me get the correct, I do believe it is UCSM01, which is Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number one.
That's dope.
So that's pretty cool. And the fact, I mean, obviously he mentions his nephew. His nephew is Miles Morales, who becomes Spider-Man later on. So the rumors are if Sony decides to pull their Peter Parker Spider-Man, that gives the Marvel Cinematic Universe a Spider-Man to pull from because they can just then just give
the transition over
to Miles and introduce him as the new Spider-Man.
Wouldn't it be crazy if they killed Spider-Man? Like Peter Parker Spider-Man?
Like they could if somebody doesn't want
to
continue.
Because it's the easiest character to kill off because you have another Spider-Man that people love.
Yeah.
Ready to go, already built into your world. And it would make an impact too. Like it would be one of those moments in cinematic history that people would be like, oh shit, you know?
Speaking kind of in line with that, Robert Downey is about ready to hang it up. So what happens to Tony Stark? Similarly, could you kill off Tony?
Also, a lot of rumors that Tony's going to step down as Iron Man and Peter Parker will take over the mantle as their resident genius and blah, blah, blah. Miles could step in there. And then the whole thing with the wedding ring, you know, holding on since 2008, references when the most current one where Tony retires as Iron Man. And goes away with his then wife Pepper and like leaves like that whole thing that doesn't leave the Avengers completely. He's still like the, you know, money and things like that. But there's a different Iron Man in place, Iron Lady technically. But so it could be setting up for that for his exit as a, you know, let's, you know, leave while on top, depending on what happens in
because these movies are gonna go on forever, and they're just gonna cycle through heroes and characters for him. So. Yeah. And we're getting to the point now where we have to, like, it's a very, you know, poignant question is who's going to be the next one of this.
Captain's out, you know, soon, probably.
I think most of it's going to be answered with the Infinity Wars. So,
yeah.
Or at least some of it's going to be addressed at some point.
Yeah.
I'm really expecting somebody very, like high notoriety is gonna
die.
The Infinity
Which
Wars.
One? We're taking bets right now. Who dies?
Well, I mean, if you want to go,
I would say Captain.
I would say Captain America would be the one because you could have Bucky come in as the new Cap, until obviously he comes back for whatever reason if he comes back. But I mean, it all depends. Like, you wouldn't kill. I mean, you could kill Thor, but it would be not really need to.
But I would say you close down that whole world if you kill Thor without like that meaningful replacement already. Because like everyone else already kind of has a replacement. Like even if it's been referenced or not, you can kind of see.
Yeah, but Hulk doesn't need to die.
Yeah,
Hulk needs his own goddamn movie first.
True. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had two, but they don't suck.
No, Ed Norton one was good. Just he was. A megalomaniac. I would see Tony or Cap going down for sure, because I mean you have
it won't be Peter Parker in that, because there's still more Spider-Man movies getting made afterwards. So, and you need to have Miles comes into play before
because his second solo movie, nicknamed Homecoming 2, it's not gonna be the name of it, will be out the same year as the second Infinity War movie, which
afterwards
it'll follow directly after it, because the sequel will take place after that movie, because it'll
isn't it like, didn't they say it was like hours after the events or something like that ends, that movie's gonna pick up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I do love the references to in Homecoming, where Peter's, you know, got the video of
His little mini movie he made of Civil War,
his blogging, and that was great.
Yeah, I love the way that's how they start the movie.
Yeah.
So you see, like, oh, it's, you know, like, this is where I was before.
I stole a shield. I was like, hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, it was really clever the way they did it. But anyways, so Easter eggs. Ha.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of references to Spider-Man universe characters. Betty Brant, obviously Flash Thompson. There's a lot of those, which are really fun, obviously. The ones that link him to the other Marvel universe would be like the principal is the grandson of one of the Howling Commandos, and you see a picture of him. It's funny because it's the same actor.
Absolutely.
That's really funny to me. Yeah. There was the Tinkerer, obviously, who's the guy who built all the fun toys that the Vulture was using to do his crimes as well as sell. The Shocker we talked about, which I did not know, the gauntlet that they used is actually Crossbones gauntlet from Civil War.
Really?
So the one Cap rips off his arm and throws down, that's actually the gauntlet. Now that I know that, you look at it, it's exactly the same one. It's just souped up more and has more of a charge to it than just the, you know, the punchy punch thing. Because the same one, it's a gauntlet, you hit the, activate whatever, how you ever do it, and the little thing folds down, and instead of just being a fisty fist for punchy punch, it has the electrical charge on it. I don't know the technical term for that, so...
Punchy punch. Yeah. Punchy punch, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Not for me.
Yeah. There's the mention... offhanded mention of Thor's belt, which I thought was really funny. Because it's leaving the Avengers Tower, which I thought was hilarious. The heist... where they're wearing the Avengers masks is directly from one of the comic books. I'm looking currently at it. It's from Ultimate Universe. In that one, there was a Batman mask, but obviously they can't really do that for reasons. Yeah. But I thought in that same one is when it was really funny that Spider-Man then says, oh, I finally get to meet Hulk and Thor. Like, you know, and they're obviously missing from the last movie that they were all in together, which is really funny. And then there was, the theme song I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it was a mix between the Ramones theme song and the one from the cartoon, just obviously done in a more movie-style way with an orchestra and all that fun stuff. Stanley's cameo was pretty funny. Yeah. I like that one a lot.
It's quick, too.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Early in the movie, which is kind of abnormal, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he was obviously in there. Martin Starr comes back to the Marvel Universe, but as a teacher instead of a lab tech. He was in Incredible Hulk. He was the debate teacher. He was also a computer lab guy. I didn't catch this one. I didn't read it, but apparently there's another Bruce Banner moment that was in there. I didn't read it, but apparently he was in there too. There was another one I wanted to say too that I saw. Oh, Cindy Moon, another one of the teenagers at the high school is actually Silk. Later becomes Silk, one of the other spider people. Liz Allen, obviously. Spoiler alert, ends up being the stepdaughter of Adrian Toomes, who is the Vulture. Which was not clarified completely, by the way, in the movie, that's not his actual daughter. That's why she goes by Alan, not Toomes. Everyone's like, well, that's in, why'd they do that so you wouldn't figure out who it is? No, because it's not actually her last name. She calls him Dad, but that's because that's who's raising her. Let's see. What else was there? It was fun. A lot of ties to the previous movies throughout it. We've talked about here the theory that Spider-Man or Peter Parker was in Iron Man 2. He plays a little kid that was dressed up like Iron Man at the Stark Expo.
That almost, the one that almost got his face blown off.
Yeah, that basically he's like, boo, and then like Tony shows up behind him and shoots. Mm-hmm. That's actually them. Damage Control, which we talked about, is a previously made comic book that made in his, it's you know, appearance here. Speaking of Vulture, like I really like the way they aesthetically made him look with mm-hmm. the flight jacket and the fur on it made it look like the feathers that Vulture always has like on his costume. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that the second evolution of the wings looked more wing-like, and the engines, the propellers were much smaller and more, and they weren't just they because the second set weren't just propellers, they were actually thrusters and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the fact when he went on the bottom of the plane and he it turned into like the little like hole and it basically sealed itself up, I was like, oh, you guys are super clever.
Yeah.
Like that shit was dope.
I appreciated the air breather that he wore.
Yeah.
As well as just another fine detail
to make him look suit. Like a bird. Mm. We talked about the Tinker, talked about the Prowler, Miles, Alan Commandos. Yet another license plate reference, the debut of the Vulture.
Was that the one that came off of the van?
No, the car, when Spider-Man's fight with Vulture's crew on the boat, there's a car behind it, and the license plate says SM2-0563, which is the reference to The Amazing Spider-Man issue 563, which is the debut of Vulture. So Karen was actually voiced by Jennifer Connelly.
Okay.
Who played, was in the first Hulk movie, the Ang Lee one, the really terrible one.
Yep.
But she's also married to Paul Bettany, who plays Vision.
Vision.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
I didn't know they were married.
Yeah.
It was weird.
The half face scene in the water in the warehouse was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a throwback to the spider senses thing where when he sees it, even though he's not dressed as Spider-Man, you see half of his body as Spider-Man and the other one as Peter, letting you know. And of course the Amazing Spider-Man number 33, where he showed off his super strength for the first time really in the comic books, was referenced in the warehouse scene, that same one with the half a face thing where he gets trapped under the rubble and he lifts up essentially a building to get out, showing you how strong he is. Peter's t-shirts were pretty funny, all the little nerd shirts that were on there. And one of them was actually worn by Pepper in the Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one about the Atom. Is it Atom, right? I think so. So I've lost something. He's like, are you positive? He's like, I'm negative. Obviously, we said the Scorpion. And of course, the super Captain America PSAs throughout the movie.
Fucking hilarious.
And then, of course, the end scene. One of the end scenes.
Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too. I'm pretty sure that guy's a war criminal now, but the states are going to have to show him.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did such a good job of making those cheesy and stupid. Like, your PE coach, and he points to the wrong side of the TV.
Burrs just waves.
Yeah. Like, he's done it so much, he doesn't care where he's at anymore, you know? Those are the bigger ones. A lot of references to future characters and entanglements with Peter. Betty Brant being one of them. I can't remember the guy's name, but the other anchor on that in-school news broadcast they both end up working at the Daily Bugle. Betty Brant's sort of a love interest of Peter at the
Bugle. I did kind of love how bad the news show for the kids were.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's a... Because it would have been easy to make it just smooth,
and makes sense as they're going through. Yep. But the fact that they're all in high school, like, it should be kind of awkward and bad, and they should be figuring it out. And I was like, ah, it's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, both of them end up, and he actually ends up becoming the, a version of the Hobgoblin after being brainwashed by Green Goblin in the Ultimate Universe, or in Ultimate or Amazing Spider-Man. So that was kind of a fun little thing. The suit we see at the end, a lot of people think it's the Iron Spider suit. Biggest thing is it's not red and gold, but it's very, the way it looks like armor, which is the first thing I thought of was the spider armor, which is a different color completely. If you don't know what the spider armor is in Spider-Man, it's a silver and black. It has armor plating on the legs and the arms and the chest. In the back, and then of course the helmet is there. So it was very reminiscent of that because you could see the segments of it with the webbing on there. So that was pretty cool. But some people say you could see that the blueprints and stuff behind it shows that the backpack has legs that came out of it. I didn't see that just because I was so take the suit. But it'll be interesting to see if we get a glimpse of that more in the Infinity War movie, because he obviously is going to go up against some really bad people and bad things, and it'd be nice to have a little bit more protection than a
right
spandexy suit on there. But yeah, I think that's it for that. Anything else anybody wants to add? We'll do one last thing around the table. What villain do you want to see in the next movie?
Don't start here.
We'll start with Taj. Because he said not to start there.
I can't.
I mean, obviously everybody wants Venom, but that's
I'd much rather.
It's too easy.
Yeah, no, I got nothing.
Michael?
Mysterio.
Mysterio's a good one.
That's where I would want to go because you haven't seen him in a movie yet. I don't want them to jump right into the Green Goblin. Yeah, so I would say Mysterio and start building up the Sinister Six.
Michael?
I want either Kraven or Morbius.
Which would be good as well, yeah.
I like Kraven as the next one because they're keeping the Spider-Man movies... this one, they kept it small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think Kraven would be a good one because it's just one dude, He doesn't have, an army of fucking shit where you're going to need the Avengers. But it would still... But, I mean, I want to see Morbius in a live-action movie so goddamn bad. I've been wanting to see that for a long time. Mm-hmm. So that would be pretty cool. And there's been rumors floating around that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have a Blade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Blade's in a world, I mean, it opens up the door for Morbius for sure. So.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's talks... we may find out this weekend at D23 or if Comic-Con next weekend. There's rumors that Ghost Rider is going to get his own miniseries. This is going to pop up on ABC or one of the many different places that Disney has contracts with. Blade is rumored to be the next jump because they're leaving the Inhumans stuff out of the next season of S.H.I.E.L.D. because Inhumans has its own show coming out. So they have to go another direction, and one of them is going to be vampires. Because vampires are big, and they now own the rights to Blade again, so they can use that. Pretty sure Sticky Finger Jones isn't doing anything, so they can get him back. Taj's favorite incarnation of Blade. Mike's second favorite incarnation of Blade. Right behind, obviously, Wesley Snipes, and closely followed up by the cartoon version. So Mysterio's a good one. Kraven's a good one. Taj ain't got nothing, apparently.
I mean, the easy answer is Venom.
It really is.
Yeah,
easy.
But
because everyone wants to see Venom be dope as fuck in a movie, and we've never gotten it. Yeah. We gotten a Venom, but it was a shit Venom. But now we're going to get Tom Hardy as Venom, which is cool, but it looks like they're playing him more as the anti-hero
than a
villain.
He's not Flash Thompson. He's
Brock? No.
And it's Brock. What's his first name, though?
Eddie Brock.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how that's working. Plus, there's no straight answer yet. Like, I read an article saying that it is that the Tom Hardy Venom movie is tied to the Marvel Universe, but it's now it's sounding like it's not, or it's like loosely tied to. It's like in the same universe, but it doesn't really.
It's gonna be one of those things we're not gonna find out for sure until movies like in production get made, people are filming, because then shit'll more accurate information will get out.
So I mean, as long as I mean, is if they do something where they tie a previous villain from this movie into it, then link those, and I think that's the only way we're really like. I mean, I'm perfectly okay with leaving it away from Spider-Man, but you really kind of need Spider-Man really to explain a lot of what Venom is, especially the way Venom looks, because his look is based on Spider-Man. So, like, if you don't have that, why does he look like Spider-Man? You know, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I actually agree with Michael. I would like to see Kraven done on the big screen, especially if he goes on a spider hunt like he does in the comic books, where he, obviously, if you don't know who Kraven the Hunter is, he is the ultimate game hunter. He hunts the world's dangerous animals, and a human spider would definitely be one of them. Plus, he's kind of he's one of those villains where he's not out to become rich and famous because of it. He already is rich. Good question.
I mean, this is gonna sound like my default, but and I know he's got to deal with DC, but The Rock is kind of perfect.
I think Joe Manganiello would be really good too.
Joe Manganiello would be, but he's also got a DC thing going.
Yep.
But yeah, those are the two that I was like instantly. I was like, "Yo," but then
because they're big dudes, you want someone big. Like,
it has to be a physically imposing guy. Yeah. Like it's that's not one of those characters where you can get away with changing. Like, because this dude fights lions and shit. You know what I mean?
Like fisticuffs with lions.
Yeah. Like for fun. So you gotta have somebody that. I forget. He's not besides super.
It's his weapons and stuff that he uses. Yeah.
So he's not.
He's just super smart.
Super fucking.
Yeah. He's not super strong.
He doesn't have powers.
Yeah. He's just a buff human being who legitimately is strong and not just like, you know, gym strong.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, like I work out by chasing down lions and beating them up.
I mean, I hate to say it, but the guy who played in the latest Tarzan movie.
Oh, Alexander Skarsgård? Yeah. He could do it, for sure. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, he could do it. Good call now. Thanks. High fives. So I think that's it for this episode. Anybody got anything else?
Nope.
Negative.
Nobody? Nothing? All right. Comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
Taj.
And I'm Cody. As usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Yeah, you did.